Just a thought. We are living in a time when all hands have to be on deck. We have to be prepared and ready to fight against forces seeking to return us to a time when America was not for everyone. We must speak for ourselves while delivering a clear message to the world. No longer can we focus on just our own individual success. Those of us that have found or created a path must use every vehicle available to us to help others see the light. We must inspire those who are lost and demoralized. We must find a way to speak to each other while expressing our own opinions. People of color must use the internet to expand our reach beyond our communities and find solutions to the issues that plague our neighborhoods. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections need you to schedule some time to share your opinions on live radio. My show wants you to carry your message beyond just a few city blocks. We want you to know that your personal issues and economic concerns and life beliefs are important to the world. I am the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, James C. Deshay, and we want you to be a part of this new movement. We want you to be ready and prepared to share your opinions with everyone throughout our hour and a half long show, 7 days a week. Please call into the show every day, 657-383-0309, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Your voice needs to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. We must raise sand in a way that serves notice. A movement is coming. White America will share the bounty that is created from the investment of the past, present, and future from this day forth. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, and I look forward to you calling into the show every day.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I am delighted to be here with you this evening, as all evenings, as we get the opportunity to talk about the kinds of things that impact our lives today and in the future. We have to be on top of the things that are going on in our world so we can find solutions and find the direction that will take us in the proper place. You know, we have so much to talk about. I want to take a little short break, as always, and give everybody the opportunity to call in, and so we can be prepared for the things that we need to talk about and discuss.
I am a man, given the power to overcome the unexpected, asked to remain unbowed as the winds of change swirl around me. I am a man that knows my place and is fearless as I walk the streets of the world. It is my birthright to control all aspects of my existence while being humble. I am a man searching the roads for the moment that will empower me to uncover my purpose and allow me to rule over my kingdom. I am a man which has been given the characteristics of my Father, ordering me to protect the one who makes me whole and gives me images of myself. I am a man who will display love in a fashion created within my internal spirit, fixated on sharing my love beyond the bounds of my family. I will make sure that my legacy lives within all who cross my path, instilling God's love and motivation. I am a man.
Some of you experienced them as well. in Anaheim, California, an incident took place where an off-duty police officer got in a confrontation with a crowd of high school students. He tried to detain one high school student, and his friends came to the aid of their friend and created a very hostile environment for the off-duty police officer. At one point, the off-duty police officer had the young man by the collar and near some hedges, and one young man sought to try to knock him over the hedges, which then created a situation where the off-duty police officer pulled his weapon from underneath his belt and discharged a shot. Now, I don't know if the shot was fired purposely into the ground or accidentally, but at that point, a lot of the students scattered, and the police officer was left with the young man he had by the collar until the other police officers arrived. On the surface, when I first saw this, it seemed to be a lot of bad judgment on behalf of the police officer. But what led up to it is what we want to discuss, as well as the incident itself, is about how adults find themselves entwined in the behaviors of young people, and then we as adults have to decide whether we ignore the behavior or we seek to find solutions to the behavior, because addressing the teens sometimes does not give you the result that you want. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we second-class citizens to young people, or do we have a right to demand that young people behave in a certain manner? I know all of us have dealt with the fact that young people feel like they can walk in the middle of the road after they get out of school and don't want to allow traffic to go on the road past them. They just want to feel like, hey, you know, you hit me, you'll be gonna be in trouble. And so, again, we have to deal with how do you deal with these young people and their nasty behaviors and then want to give them a pass just because they happen to be under the age of 18. Kathy, I'm going to start with you since you are from that area. How are you doing this evening, Kathy?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Kathy, what are your thoughts on the surface of what happened in this incident?
Well, I did see the video. I actually saw two or three different videos. I didn't see the beginning of how it actually started, but I saw from the standpoint where he grabbed hold to the young man's shirt and began to drag him from that point, and the conversation going back and forth between him, the young man, and one of his friends. Now, I don't know if he told the kids that he was an officer or not. I don't think he did. So that was my thing. If he would have, in the beginning, let them know that he was an officer, I believe that it would have turned out very differently. I was kind of upset on both ends, first being that him being a police officer and the things that he was saying to the young people, and if he's supposed to be an example for them, then he did not show that during that process and time. For him to pull the gun out the way that he did, and he did shoot the gun. It wasn't that it went off by itself, because as a police officer, you're supposed to have your safety button on. He released that and shot into the bush. Now, no, I'm not saying what the kids did was right. But again, if he would have said, hey, I am a an off-duty police officer. I need to talk directly to this young man right here. I need everybody else to back up. I believe they would have done that. And from looking at the video, the kids were not violent in any way. The only thing was that the guy who he was holding on to, the 13-year-old young child, was telling him, man, let me go. You know, get off of me. Let me go. Why are you holding me? And then repeating back to him what he had actually said. So on my end and on the defense of the kids, I think the officer was wrong in this particular issue.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you, I'm not sure what information you have, but I'm giving you some of the information that I have. This particular officer is taking care of his elderly parents. So part of his duties, besides being a police officer, is his caretaker for his parents. I believe one of the people who may have been outside may have been his father. I did notice there was an old elderly man who had a cane that was also outside. But I've been told that this officer's house is on the corner. And, you know, there are just some people who meticulously take care of their property. And I've been told that this has been an ongoing problem with these young people walking across his grass. And I have to tell you, I live down the street from a school. I have a wall in front of my house because I have a double driveway, and the wall goes across the whole driveway in the center, and then it has a wall on either side. I have just given up because every one of them kids feel like it's their right to jump up on the wall and walk across the wall. And as well as that, I have a situation where people think it's okay. Some people, not a whole lot, but there are three or four young men who think it's okay to take a shortcut through the back of my yard on my lake side and across my lake and jump my fence and jump the other people's fence and just take a shortcut through the neighborhood. And so I can sympathize with this man who knows that people are not supposed to walk across your property. I mean, there's a reason why they call it your property, okay? And so these kids have been doing that and violating this man's space. So I guess he just got tired. And he suggested that the kids said to him, I'll shoot you. And that was the reason why he singled this kid out. And so I'm just interested, you know, I'm just saying, I think the police officer handled it poorly, that maybe he should have taken a picture of the kid and went to the high school to get more information so he could have talked to the kid's parents. But these kids, and Kathy, when you said they did nothing violent, one of the boys literally tried to tackle the officer when he was near the hedges, tried to knock him over at the hedges. Had he fallen down, there's no telling what he might have did.
But James, he didn't know he was an officer. And if I saw someone holding on to my friend like that, they did not say that they were an officer, I would have done the same thing. So in his defense, the officer never said he was an officer. So they didn't know until the end that he was an officer. So he should have told them in the beginning that, hey, I'm an off-duty officer and I don't want you guys on my grass. And if you continue to do that, then I'm going to have to go to the school and talk to your parents. There's a way you reason with people. That's what we've been talking about these last couple of months, about how do you start a conversation with these young people these days. How do you gain a relationship? That could have been a whole nother situation. He could have turned that thing around, but because of the way that he handled it, now it's at the point that it's at, and he is going to be charged for that, even though the kids have been charged now. But he's going to be charged because he was out of order. He was out of line.
Dang, I like to interject.
Well, they ruled today that he was in the right. They ruled today he was in the right. But this wasn't his first encounter with those kids. And good morning, good afternoon, everybody. How I look at it, he really shouldn't, to me, I don't think he should have told them that he was an officer. It shouldn't have made any difference. I think we have to teach our young kids this, to respect everybody's property. Not only that, an update of that story, the same story, those friends went back to the wall and painted kill cop killer. You know, so I think this was an ongoing situation, what had happened. I'm really particular about my property, and I really kind of taught my kids not to walk across nobody's property because, you know, I don't think that's fair to the homeowners. I mean, everybody beautified. To me, a person keep walking and making a trail over your property is no different than a person who got a big dog, who walked his dog to shit in my yard every day. So that to me, it's no respect. You got a big dog. I got a little dog. If I wanted a big dog, I would have purchased a big dog to have big shit. So do not train your dog to poop in my yard. So we have an audience about that here in our development. But my husband has called some of our neighbors doing just that. They walk their dogs because they don't want to pick up behind their dogs, but they use someone else's property for their dog release, and I think that's so disrespectful, you know. So people are really particular about their property, and I think that has a lot to do with having good, bad neighborhoods.
And I really believe that I agree as far as the dogs are concerned, but when you live near a school, as James said about where his property is, when you live near a school and you don't have a gate, you are going to have people walking across your grass. You are going to have people taking shortcuts. I even remember when we were younger, we used to take shortcuts in people's yard, and the people did not like it, but that was a shortcut for us. And, again, this is not the first time that this has happened between him and the kids, but he probably never took the necessary steps to stop this from happening. I believe that he did that intentionally, and even though he was found not at fault, I believe it's going to be consequences behind that, because that's not the way that you, that's saying that, okay, if somebody walks on your grass, just like they did with Trayvon Martin, if somebody walks on your grass, yeah, you can go and grab them up. You can go and hold them down, but you don't do a kid like that. Not saying that.
But that was his first encounter, though. But I think he tried to talk to the kids, but they were like a gang. It's not a gang, but it was a group of them. And sometimes when you have kids and more than one, you know, I think if it would have been just him and the kid probably would have taken notice. But, you know, I think when you're with your group, you're a little cocky, so you got to define that. But I live around the corner from a school, and our kids, and it's a elementary school, but we have high schools that's in the community. But those kids, they do not walk on everybody's property like that. They don't cross it. They don't. They do the sidewalk. And I think that's just really educating our kids about respecting other people's property, you know. And, I mean, kids are youthful now. You know, you need the steps, you know. You need to exercise. So, you know, why not take the long way? And it's not, you're talking about 3 or 4 feet when you're crossing somebody's boundaries like that.
To me, I think it's just communicating. So why don't we go to you to give you an opportunity to get your thoughts in right quick.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right. Ladies, good evening, and nice to talk to y'all. All right, look. All right. Usually, as normal, the video didn't start until the confrontation started. All right. So we don't really know what was said prior to the actual physical confrontation. All right. Now, I want to disagree with Kathy, if I may, respectfully. You know, I can understand her viewpoint coming from a mother's point of view. All right. But the issue still remains, and there are two issues that I like to make point of. Two wrongs don't make a right. Mm-hmm. All right. The police officer, if he did even announce himself as a police officer, and if he did not, I'm not sure who that was that said that he didn't have to, but if he did not announce himself as a police officer, usually when the adrenaline starts to flow, all rationale goes out the window. Now, if he is a trained police officer, yes, he should have done things differently to try to de-escalate the situation. All right?
And he was
spent
retired.
A lot of time. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, he was retired?
Uh-huh, he's a retired.
No, he's not retired.
He's not retired.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we spent a lot of time on how to actually keep one's head so we can properly de-escalate any situation we may come across. All right. And that takes a lot of training in some cases, or it takes a lot of rationale and common sense. Now, when it comes down to the kids, all right. You know, kids have a knack to display blatant disrespect, especially in a group environment. And they have a tendency, knowing the outcome, when it's all said and done, they have a tendency to want to play the juvenile card. I'm just a juvenile. And then history has shown in modern time that parents, especially our women, have a tendency to excuse the juvenile because he is a juvenile. But yes, he's a juvenile in your presence. But when he's in the presence of his peers, then he's in anything but a juvenile because he's then trying to appeal to his peers. So two wrongs do not make a right, and the officer, being the adult, supposedly, missed the opportunity, and as drawn out as it may have been, to draw out the situation a little longer, call the necessary persons to de-escalate the situation, as opposed to actually putting himself in a position where he had to disarm or discharge his weapon. Had he not done that, he probably would have been fertilizer in that grass.
Well, let me just share something with you all to sort of give you a few little food for thought. At the museum, we have property at the museum, and behind our property at the museum is housing. So people would use the driveway through the museum as a shortcut and then jump our fence in the back. And they would tear, they kept, you know, as you keep doing that, you keep tearing down the fence, okay? And I was there one day, and I saw this kid do it a couple of times, go through there like that. Well, one day I was kind of fed up with it, and I said to the kid, please do not use my driveway or my back as a shortcut. That boy literally cussed me out. I mean, he cussed me like he was a grown man. And so what I did, you know, because I knew I didn't have no – it was no way for me to talk to him because he was already angry. If I had gotten out of my truck and went to him, it would have been a grown man fighting a juvenile. And so I called the bus. I got the bus, the number off the bus. I called Orange County Bus, told them what happened. And they worked with me to move that bus stop so that my property was not a convenient place for them to walk through as a pathway. Now, mm-hmm. I knew as a teacher working 30 years that I could get him suspended off that bus and so that he wouldn't get a bus ride anymore. But a person who did know the school system would not know that every one of those kids on that bus got, and this happened, that they know what kid get off at that bus stop and what time, as long as I gave them the time and the bus number. But I'm saying to you, Kathy, you really need to recognize there are some kids out there who are bad. I felt for that policeman's safety as I watched that thing, because he kept trying to back up and put himself in a position where those students wouldn't surround him. And he finally moved toward those hedges where one boy just leaped and tried to literally knock him over. Had he knocked that man over, it might have been a whole other conversation about them stomping him. The way these kids stomp each other when they jump on people is outrageous. And this man never took a position. He was just trying to hold the boy. He never struck the boy in the head. He never started fighting the boy. He did everything just to keep hold to him, waiting for the police to come. And I think it was his father that was on the phone calling the police. And there's another story about one of the other neighbors. He asked her to go back in the house because he didn't want her to come outside during the confrontation. But these boys seem to me to be in violent mode. One of the other ones, one of the black boys, actually went up in his face and looked like he was getting ready to throw a punch. So when you use the term, they didn't become violent, they looked very violent to me when I looked at the film. And it seems to me that, again, young people have no respect for adults. I don't have a problem with them watching over their friend, standing around him. But the way they came at that man, be he an adult or a police officer, seemed to be out of control and seemed to be another instance where adults could not have anything to say to young people. I don't have no problem with them watching and videotaping, making sure they protect their friend until they knew the police were coming. They knew that the people were out there and they were calling the police. But they were looking to take matters into their own hands. Andre, are you ready to speak about the issue?
You know what? No. I'm going to listen for a minute. I haven't really even seen it. I was that in a position where I could, you know, see the news for the last few days. I heard a little bit about it. But just keep talking. I'll chime in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Joyce, what are your thoughts about something? And Joyce, let me give you some additional background. He's an active police officer, but he's taking care of two elderly parents. And also, they had to move from the house because he feared for what would take place, because it really became in an uproar. I think a rock was thrown through one of his windows and the garage door was painted as well as a fence. So I feel like the parents have really gone to the side of the kid, as they do most often, where we've sided with children so much that they don't have any fear at all of adults. Joyce?
Well, you know, it's just what I voiced earlier about how I feel about it. And in that particular situation, you know, kids, they act differently when they're in a group than if they were one-on-one. I think if there was a kid there by himself, if they told him not to walk on the property in the whole bit, he would respect that and go on about his business, make sure that it never happened. But when kids are in groups, particularly in a situation like that, you know, they get cocky, they get it's just different, you know. And I'm so glad that it could have been worse than what it turned out to be, but they did find them innocent. But then too, for them to go back and spray paint on that, I wouldn't want to even live in that neighborhood anymore, because to me, I think this may have happened. Believe me, it's not dead. Eventually something else is going to happen. So, and then why should you have to move from your neighborhood when, I mean, can't we all just get along? I mean, if we tell and speak to our kids and let them know about property, property is key. You know, it's no different than you have people coming from across the border. They like to mark. They like the spray paint and stuff like that. My God, you know, it's like marking territories and things like that. I think, you know, that's scary. To me, it is. And my thing is that I value my property. Our whole community is somewhat similar to that, you know, where we value everything. We have rules, regulations, and guidelines. But I think school kids, even though they're school kids, there's no excuse. You know, people should be taught at a younger age how to respect someone else's property, you know, regardless whether they're in high school, elementary, and I know elementary kids like to take corners and shortcuts, but I think if we talk to our kids and let them know, oh, you're not supposed to do that, and that's Mrs. Jones' property, definitely walks around on the sidewalk because she doesn't like for nobody to cut across the yard. I think kids will understand it. It's just communication. I think we need to do a lot of that to our kids. Let us know what we expect of our kids, you know, for them to handle themselves within the household and when they get out in the public and when they get to be with their peers. They got to know how to act.
Well, I'm going to share this with you, Kathy, and get your opinion on this. You know, here in the state of Florida, and I can only speak to the state of Florida, when people come on your property, you can actually be sued if they get hurt in any way, even though they're on your property. And so one of the things I hate about the elementary school being down on that end of, for me, is every time they jump on that wall and walk the length of that wall, if one of them were to trip and fall, and then they'd be saying, it's your fault. Okay? Now, that wall has been there since 1967. And mind you, them kids probably been walking that wall since that time. But yet, the truth is, if one of them was to trip and fall, they control hold me accountable, even though there's a sidewalk in front of the wall. But they just don't, it might as well not be there because they just love walking on top of that wall. So, and I heard you say that, you know, you've taken shortcuts, but why do people have to have paths cut through their yard when they don't want it to be? So I'll let you go on, Kathy.
I don't know why we do it, James, or why it's being done when you see, you know, when you're walking in a group and there's grass, you walk on the grass, just like someone said earlier about people walking their dogs and the dogs poop on the grass, but people don't have the consideration to pick it up, even though they know that their dog pooped on the grass. If your house is on the corner, not saying that it's right, but that just seems that's how it has been. That,
yeah,
you walk right there on the end of that grass, not doing it intentionally, but you're in a group, you're talking, and you walk on the grass. And I know the people do be upset because I've always said, as I've grown up, that I would never do that again. But people walk on our grass all the time. The kids are always on the grass playing. But I just believe it was a missed opportunity for this particular officer to show that community thing that we have been talking about for months concerning the young people. That's what I'm saying. And the way that he grabbed him, even being a mother and not being a mother, the way that he grabbed hold to him and was pulling him, I just believe it could have been escalated to where it didn't get to the point that it was at, and then the end result of him shooting the gun.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not sure. Indeed, you said you watched it. What do you think would happen if he didn't have that gun?
Well, James, like I say, that man and probably his father, whoever the older person was, would have been fertilizer in that lawn, all right? But look, let's say something about the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is, if you look at the Trump's supporters, the Trump supporters are the same people, just like yourselves, they're property owners for the most part. And they feel left behind to where? They feel that political correctness have left them alienated to where they can't say anything. They don't have any rights no more, as property owners especially, and that people who take advantage of the concept of political correctness, if it is any such thing, have just gone way out of hand. They don't respect anybody. They don't respect your property. So they think they can do very much what they want to do. Hence, here comes the movement that Donald Trump brings to the table. When he says that he's going to straighten up all this kind of mess like that, and speaking in particular of the area of Chicago, as probably going to be an example of what to expect. That's why he gets so many cheers when he says those kind of things, because people are fed up, just like you, like yourselves, being property owners. They don't respect what you have. They don't have it. So why should you have it? That's the mindset. Now, what's the solution? The solution is not the ones that are already 13, not the ones that are already 18 and 16 and none of those. The solution is to implement new programs or forgotten programs that was in the schools in the first place about humanity and how to deal with other persons in your world other than yourself. I think it's always Regina or Joyce who always says you have to go back to the local foundation of these cities and start getting your mayors involved, even the clergy, as simple as getting the clergy involved. Because from where I stand, I see the clergy they're the ones that are missing this great opportunity to be had.
Exactly.
You know, so that's where I am. I'm an advocate in everything that y'all are talking about, and I am kind of peed off for the excuse making for so long. It's time to step up. And thanks for letting me share that.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation. James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good. I want to share a couple of other things with you in regards to this incident and see if it makes any difference to you. I Googled, let me say this first. I'm not sure if you guys have had anybody who really, really, I mean really love their yard. Now, there's some people out there in America who love their yard beyond what I think is normal. And I grew up in a neighborhood with a gentleman whose name was Mr. McDonald. And he rode a bicycle, and he did other people's yards, but his yard was magnificent. And you would not think about walking across his grass. And if you threw a ball and it went into his yard, you may or may not get that ball back. And so this man was a terror in our neighborhood. Now, he was a terror just by his demeanor. He never put his hand on anybody I know of, but everybody in the neighborhood was afraid of him. He didn't drive no car. He just rode a bicycle. But you knew he was a man not to mess with, and you bet not walk across his grass. And that meant the grass that was in front of the sidewalk or behind the sidewalk. Because you know the grass in front of the sidewalk in Florida is a thoroughfare. That grass actually belongs to the city. But for Mr. McDonald, that was his grass. And if you walked across his grass, either in front or the back of that sidewalk, and he saw you, you were going to get it. The other thing I want to talk about was here in Florida, a man actually killed a young man for walking across his grass. And the man was just, they say he was the kind of man, he would go out there and measure his grass. That's how particular he was about his grass. And I guess that particular day, he just was fed up. And the boy walked across his grass, and they were neighbors. And he shot the boy. Of course, he went to jail. But I'm telling you, there are Americans out there who don't, when they say it's their property, that's what they mean. And I can tell you, I live in the back of my house is all windows so that I can see the lake. And there have been mornings when I wake up, especially during the summer when the kids are out of school, and I wake up and I see people walking across my backyard. And I'm saying, what are they doing? And they jump the fence and walk across the next neighbor's backyard and the next neighbor's so that they can cut off the whole neighborhood so they can get to another neighborhood that they would have to walk all the way around to get to. So they get the whole, cut off the whole neighborhood walk. And I can tell you that I've tried to jump up and run out there and say something to them. I've talked to my neighbor because they walked through his yard. And he said, oh, Jay, don't fret it. There ain't nothing we can do. The people just don't respect our yards like they used to. And I'm like, that's what we adults have become, where we're the children. We just have to accept what the kids do, because there ain't nothing we can do about it. Kathy, I'm going to come back to you, because you know you love the kids.
I'm just laughing. No, James, it's not that we have become silent or back up, but it's the way that you present yourself. That's not only for kids. It's for adults as well. Again, this is something we talked about before. We talked about these conversations of how you go out, you know, when you're interacting with people in the community, in the store. There's a way that you talk to people and let them know, even though some people may say, well, I shouldn't have to do that. No, you should not have to do it. But as a courtesy, you know, for yourself and to de-escalate a situation, I believe if you do go outside while the people are going in your yard and you have good conversation with them, I believe there will be a change, okay? If there will be a change, maybe you won't get as many people, but you'll get a couple. What's more important, the life of a person or your grass? Just like that man now, he's not going to even be able to enjoy his grass anymore because he has taken the next step and has killed someone over some grass. That's not a battle that me myself that I would like to fight. That's not a battle that we need to be going back and forth with. That's just me, you know, and that's just how I am this day. I'm grown up a little bit, and I see things a little different. Some people love their grass. I have grass, and when the grass man come and cut it, it looks so nice. But I know it's not going to look like that every day because it's going to grow. The dogs are going to come by, trash. Somebody's going to throw some trash. But I know that when the grass man come again, it's going to look beautiful like that again. But I can't stop people from walking on it and their dogs from walking around it.
And you're right, it's not worth it, but I'm just saying our kids need to know who grass they walking across because they may run into Mr. McDonald or this other man, and they need to be mindful. Everybody's not the same. And let me just ask, have any of you all experienced high school students or students walking in the street and defying you to run over them? Joyce, have you ever experienced that?
No, I haven't. I have never experienced anything like that, but I'm sure that it happens, you know.
It happens all the time.
But
I just asked that. But what are your thoughts about
it? I think
this,
our young people are so, our kids are so aloof now, you know. They're so aloof when I say that. They, you know, it just, that's because I think, you know, we're looking for the blame in the whole bit, but I think we have all failed in a way, you know. Our family has, about communicating what is expected of you as a person, what is expected of you when you walk outside this door. You know, I think we have failed. The church has, you know. You remember we used to get more guidance, you know, at church too, in Sunday school, in Sunday classes, you know. And then our neighbors always played that type of discipline too. If I did something wrong before I got home, you know what I mean, my mom knew about it. And sometimes, you know, I might get two or three spankings, you know, for that one incident. I think we need to get back into that and have our kids to put down those games and start talking and start meeting at the dinner table and start communicating. And, you know, you can tell about what your kid is all about, what your kid is thinking, you know, and where their head is. And then that would be a time to redirect situation because, you know, in laughing and talking, they're going to be more freely in giving up information as to who they are as a person. And then if that is not the person that you like what you're hearing, that is our time to sit and make that correction. So I think we need to get back to I keep saying over and over and over, communication, communication, communication.
I see that Audrey is a little late to the table. Audrey, did you hear about the situation about the kids and the off-duty police officer and him firing a shot because they were walking across the grass?
This is what? That's in Anaheim, California, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, I did. And I've listened to Joyce. And I think what we have to do is to teach our kids respect, you know, of their property, other properties, and the value of things. Now, kids are going to be kids. I have to agree with Kathy. They're going to be kids. In this era, they're walking on grass. In our era, we may have stole an apple from a tree and ran, a plate, doorbell, ditch and ran. Whatever the kids do, you know, that's just what they do. That is the reason why people don't buy property close to schools, because of that. Okay. That's one of the reasons why people don't buy a house next door to a school. if I live next door to a school, my house is going to be cheaper than somebody's house in the same neighborhood, same complex, that's half a mile down the road. Because they don't want to have to deal with that. And so they don't buy property there. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you've got to look at that also. So if you're buying there, you have an idea of what may happen there. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, you're right.
So certain things, now, because I live next door to the school, I got my house $30,000 cheaper. So you may have to put up with some $30,000 mess.
Well, that's according to what neighborhood. If they don't have no restrictions. Now, I live in a neighborhood, and our neighborhood where we have a school is an elementary school, but they bus. They do a lot of busing, and the people who don't bus, their parents are walking their kids to school and picking them up. But we have high school kids, too, that takes the bus. They do not walk across people's yard. You know, I mean, it's just what I'm assuming that, you know, it's according to the neighborhood, too, I guess, where you live at, too. You know, it's all in the people as to what they do and how they respect everybody's property. So maybe, just maybe, they know what type of home that they live in, what type of area, and how much that the area. And the thing is keeping the area so nicely. But we have so many homeowners restriction rules, you know, in the neighborhood. So I'm assuming that, I don't know whether or not that's one of them, because my kid never did go. But I, you know, never, ever. And I can see, and the way that I walk my dog every day, I'm out when the kids go to the school. I never see them cross over. I never do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's communicating, too. It's letting your kid know what to expect for that other person's property. And it's all in your neighborhood and how you want to perceive your neighborhood, too.
Mm-hmm. But again,
well, Audrey,
like
I have to tell you, I live down the street from the elementary school, so like you said, I just don't give up, because they walk across my wall. I see them coming, and I know they're going to walk across that wall no matter come hell or high water. That sidewalk is not going to keep them on it. They're going to walk across that wall, and I don't even say nothing no more, because it'll be a waste of time. And so I live four houses down from the elementary school, And that's just it, you know. I was outside one day, and they called me, "Oh, look at him. He look like Mr. Kool-Aid." So I don't even go out there with him out there, because if you want to, they will say anything and everything. So I don't even go outside. So they don't make me stay inside now. So
oh, that's a shame, though. So then they have taken over your neighborhood then. You've letting them do that.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
7:30, from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, don't go out there, because they're going to be walking up the street. And then at the end of the day, about 2:30, hey, let them have the street again and deal with it.
Hey, James, you need to start charging them rent.
I know that's right.
Yeah, you need to start charging them rent. But that's
and even the parents, even when the parents walking with them, they just jump up there on the wall and just walk the wall. Now, if I was to go out there and redo that wall and put new cement at the top of the wall and put glass in that cement, they tell me I was wrong, and they put me in jail.
Wow. Well, yeah, that would be kind of cruel.
Hey, James, yeah. James, to your credit, I wanted to say, and, you know, it has to come to a point when the adult is the adult, is to step back and actually assess the situation that you're working with. And now that I've heard that you have taken a different approach, I think that you've done just that. But I want to also reiterate that, you know, these kids have to have the parenting also to initiate proper understanding on how one is supposed to act when it comes down to interacting with the public. You know, I've always said that it seems as though that common courtesy is a thing of the past. And so, but if Miss Audrey is still there, I'd like to ask her what measures could be taken going forward to try to implement these strategies that we're trying to accomplish.
Well, it's the same as we talked about a couple of days ago. We've got to get out there and get involved, become the big brothers and the big sisters, and whatever it is that you say that you're doing in your neighborhood or in your area to, I guess, to keep these kids busy. You know, oftentimes, you know, not sometimes, you know, these kids are raised in a single family home. When they come home, instead of the mom being a mom, like if they pull out this doggone cell phone, check to see how many hits they got on a dateline, and send the kids and say, go play on your phone. They're not parenting. Mm. You know, I've seen that. You know, that parents have got to get back to being parents. And, you know, like back in the day when we used to say it takes a community to raise a child or something to that effect. Oftentimes now you don't even know your neighbor. You know, so it's you out there just doing you, trying to do the best you can to raise your child. And then we got these parents where it's, as to if another parent were to say something to a child, the parent want to fight you. Or they want the parent and the kid wants to fight you. But I would think that we just have to get involved and catch them at an early age.
Regina, is your school in a neighborhood where there are issues with the neighbors? Do your school have a situation where homeowners have complained about the students?
Not in my elementary school where I am now, but yes, when I was constant to the point where the police would often have to follow the children home or they'd have to follow the buses because they would throw things off the bus and break car windshields. I remember one time we gave them, they were given all of these books in a plastic container, and they were supposed to read those books for the summer. And they were throwing those out of the car, of the car windows. People would call that school just about every morning with a complaint.
What are your thoughts in terms of if a homeowner, is it an option for a homeowner to get the name or picture of a student? Is there anything the school can do once the child leaves the campus? Can they punish a student for what he does on his way home?
Here they can because we're responsible for the child from the time he leaves the school door until the time he hits his door. So if a neighbor were to get a picture and take it back to the school, then he could be the student would be able to be identified, and then they would take it from there. The school resource officer would handle it.
Okay. Andre, what are your thoughts about this off-duty police officer discharging his weapon as he was involved in a confrontation with students who walked across his grass?
Well, that's scary. Somebody else is talking.
Audrey.
Okay, are they allowed to have a gun off duty?
Oh, yeah, they're supposed to keep a gun on them 24 hours. I have to get a different. I'm going to have to. Lakeland, Audrey in Lakeland.
Okay, I'm not so familiar with all the details of the story, but just to think of an officer pulling a weapon on a child or student or whatever for something as minor as that, and I say minor when you look at the whole scheme of thing, I do understand the importance of the value of your property, but, you know, we never should put property over a person. And like Audrey said, you know, it's certain things that you expect. property that's just common. You can have some communities that have some exceptions, but by and large, when you live by a school, you got to reap what goes along with children, you know, walking home and that kind of stuff like that. It's just like if you live in a cul-de-sac, just kind of know that a lot of times people are going to gather at your in front of your yard. I don't know. It's just something that attracts you to that. So, again, I don't know the full details, but it's disappointing that someone would put a weapon out on a child for being on their lawn.
Well, he felt endangered because there were a bunch of students that crowded around him, and one student tried to push him over some hedges. Let me go to a break, and I'll come right back.
Loving you is easy because you're beautiful. Making love with you is all I wanna do. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out of loving you.
This is a place where you can learn about the history of African Americans in the Orlando, Central Florida area. We want to encourage you to make it a part of your schedule every time that you visit. And those of you who are in Orlando, come by as well and become a part of our membership drive so that we can keep the history of African Americans in Orlando well and good. Guys, I just want to say to you, you know, when we talk about these young people, we need to recognize that some of the things we need to teach young people is for their health as well. We, as young teenagers, have to learn how to respect the property of others. They need to recognize that everybody does not have a passive attitude, and that there's some people who become very aggressive when you cross the line on their property. And so that we have to learn, or they need to learn, how to respect people's property, if not for any other reason, for their own personal safety. because some people don't handle confrontations very well. Here in the Central Florida area, we're dealing right now with a young man who was shot in a movie theater because he was texting on his cell phone. And the two people got in an argument, and you would think that it would all be over. It'll be something simple. But the older gentleman ended up killing the younger gentleman, and right now they're dealing with whether or not the older gentleman had probable cause to kill the younger gentleman just because he was on his cell phone during the credit. Well, not the credit, the part of the movie before the movie starts. So the movie had not even started yet before these two guys got in a confrontation. And so, you know, we really need to respect people's boundaries because you don't know who is sitting next to you or who yard you're going across. And so we need to be very aware of what's going on because you may be putting your life in danger. I gave you the one story about the gentleman who killed his neighbor because he crossed his grass. That's alive and well. Cassie, we're at 17 minutes before the end of the show. We got a full house today. There are 6 callers here, and I want to thank all of you. But what is your last word, Cassie?
Compassion, empathy, communication, and think before you react.
You're right, Cassie. At the end of the day, you're right. He should have, I don't know if he should have had empathy, but he certainly should have thought about whether or not what he did was proper. I was very concerned for his safety. Cassie, I want you to go look at that video again, because one of the things I really disagree with you that there wasn't any violence. There was a lot of violence in that video. A lot. It could have ended up a lot different. George, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Kathy as far as think before you act. And then I think what happened too is that after the fact, then for them to spray paint that guy cop killing, I thought that was so wrong. But I think communication is key. If you do get in a confrontation, please count to 10 or whatever the number is they say to kind of calm yourself down. And if more, try to avoid the situation if possible. Communication to me is just key.
Okay. Audrey in California?
Okay, James. I think communication is key and getting involved. Now, you live 4 doors down from the school. You appear to be very bright, very articulate. I couldn't think of a much better person to go down there and become involved with the school. And, you know, you don't have to be a fireman to go to the school to talk to kids. You know, they're in your yard. You say you're walking on Mr. Boucher's yard. Go down and talk to the kids. Become involved. But I don't know if that's – well, I have to say on that note. But then I'd like to clarify something with Dee. I want to make sure I understood what he was talking about. When he used Chicago as an example of all the violence that's going on and what Mr. Trump had said he wants to do or whatever the case might be, get the bad people out and protect the law, our law officials, et cetera, et cetera. Not one time did he say anything about civilians. What about the bad cop that killed the civilian? He never said one thing about that. The way that I'm thinking, he appeared to have the mindset that the law officials are always right. But that's not the case. You know that, and I do too. Dee, did I understand you correctly?
Well, I think that was Rick. D dropped off, so he won't be able to say. But I do think that's what he was referring to was Donald Trump saying he was going to clean up the inner city.
Well, Donald Trump, Well, he can come into the inner city and say, we're going to work together. We're going to teach our law officers how to de-escalate situations. We're going to train them. We're going to get into the community, talk to the community, and let's do this thing together. He has not said anything close to that, not one time, that I've heard.
You're right. Felicia, do you want to
talk to us
today?
If you can do it, let's do it right.
Felicia, do you wish to talk to us today? I see Felicia is staying quiet. Andre from Lakeland, what are your final thoughts for today?
I agree with those who have said before the importance of communication and getting involved. Those two components are key, and they will bring us to receive positive resolution.
Andre, just let me be the devil's advocate. I know that you love your car and you love the nice things that you have. You have a lot of respect for the nice things you own. And you have your vehicle outside in your driveway, and some kids just come by and they decide they want to sit on your car.
Well, I'll ask them to move. You talking about Andre in Lakeland?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'll ask them to move and, you know, try to explain, you know, what are you doing? Why would you want to do that? And then just kind of depend on what the response is of how we'll go. It may mean me requesting, you know, who are your parents so that I can go and kind of share with that. And I can say that now because this is a calm situation and it is a what if. I can't say if they catch me wrong. You know, I can't say that I wouldn't respond a different way, but I would want to say that my first response would say, you know, what are you doing? You know, why in the world are you sitting on my car? You know, because like to
that.
Your point, I may have some nice things, but I and I'm truly blessed, but I work hard for it, and the Lord has provided an opportunity for me to have, but it didn't come easy. And I'm thankful for the blessing, but it's not for someone just to come and take advantage of and get away with it. No.
I tell you what I
Andre,
do, Jay.
Let me just, what would you do?
I would say, how y'all doing today? Excuse me, I got to make a run, and I get in my car and ride right around the block. I wouldn't even, you know what I mean? Because my thing is, I mean, that's doing it the nice way. How you guys doing? Excuse me, I'm finna make a run and get my butt in there and drive right around the block.
Well, I just want to tell you guys this because I taught for 30 years, and we're going to go to Regina after I say this. I've taught for 30 years, and I was in the jail, and I have to tell you, when I was in the jail, you would not want to be in my classroom all the time. Because there were times when I had to get down and dirty just like them students. And so there were times when a student would say something ugly to me, and I'd say, your mama. You know? You know? And,
oh, my God, not a professional teacher. A professional teacher should
yeah,
not
right.
respond like that.
Say, sometimes you have to hit them where they hurt. And I don't tell you how many of them boys, where they get so mad and they know they can't do nothing. And I say, hey, you started it. So, hey, I know how to finish it. But I'm going to tell you, when I was out there on my wall, sitting on my wall, viewing my horizon, viewing my property, like, you know, on the bonanza when you overseeing your property, and then this little boy came by there and said, look at him. He looked like Mr. Kool-Aid. I thought, do you I wanted to break his neck, you know, but I know, hey, I can't say nothing to the little kid. He a little kid, but you know, I wanted to tell him, your mama.
Is that one of the kids that goes to school down the street from where you live?
Yeah.
That's even more of the reason that you may want to become involved.
But
you can get them off
you,
the wall.
I don't even, like I say, I would never go out there and sit on my wall no more while them kids walking past there.
because they might say anything to you. But I'm going to tell Andre from Lakeland, Andre, when you go out there and they give you that lip, see, you ain't had no students give you no lip. See, you're an adult. You ain't had the experience of no snotty nose kids giving you no lip. You know what I'm saying? And tell you what they'll do to you. See, I don't been there. You know, I don't been there. I told one young man when I first got out of college, and I went to teach in Virginia, and I told him he couldn't go to the restroom or he couldn't go get some water, and he stood up to me and balled his fist up, and I told him, if you hit me, you're going to become a man because I'm going to beat you like a man. Now, I was lucky enough that most of them listened to my word and refused to go beyond. And I told some of them, you know, there's a line that's worth me losing my job over. Don't mess around and stumble over that line. Okay? Because some of them, see, some of these kids don't have no fear no more. You all really need to go look at that YouTube video about how many teachers are getting beat up in these school systems. It's some awful things going on in our schools these days. Regina, final word for the day?
Communication is the key, and the type of communication is the key. In the same respect as you told them, if you haven't heard how children can talk to teachers and disrespect teachers and adults and some people's hands are tied, but you've got to make sure you stay in a respectful manner with the children or that you maintain mm-hmm. your respect. All I used to say was, because I went to the high school in that same rough area and actually went to the same middle school, and I tell them, don't forget what high school I went to before I became a teacher. And that was a level of respect that they had for me because they knew who I was. And if they would, some of these adults would get involved in the neighborhood schools, that would cut down a lot of things that happen. None of those people who called our school ever came to our school. They never came there.
And, Regina, you don't have to have a student in the school to go to the school.
Oh, no.
You just have to have a chair. Yeah. And you know what? To add to that point, sometimes a student will talk better to someone else or communicate better to someone else than a parent.
Well, see, I would tell those people in the neighborhood, don't talk about us unless you've been there with us.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I tell you all, I hope you never run into a disrespectful student, because it's something about an adult talking to an adult that you realize y'all on the same level and, you know, you all having disagreement. But your ego takes a real hit when a child refuses to respect your status. And I hope you never experience that. But I'm telling you now, in our school system that exists now, that is something that teachers and principals deal with on a regular basis. I can remember vividly, I'd go in and break up a fight. And as soon as I get in there breaking that fight up, I said, now don't y'all mess around and hit me, because I'm going to get my lick back. And I meant that.
Wow.
And because these people will hit you and push you. And I just ask you to go to YouTube and Google teachers getting hit, and you'll see a full of how really disrespectful students have gotten and how they behave now. They want to be children when it comes time to discipline. But when they're in the midst of it, oh, they think they just as grown as you are.
Mm. Wow.
James, this person's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. You Google YouTube about teachers getting hit and beat up by students.
You
can see as many of them as you want to.
You know,
and parents,
I'm
not sure which one of you said it, but so many parents come prepared and ready to uphold the behavior of their children. Instead of putting their children in check, they come ready to fight you about how you treated their children.
Exactly, Okay, I just want to give you guys a heads up. Now, this particular thing with this policeman and everything happened, I believe it's in Orange County. Orange County, when you go in and you Google it, I don't know what the ethnicity of these kids were, but it is less than 2% black. When I moved to Orange County in the 70s, it was not even 0.5% African-American. So people here are edgy anyway. The guy, from what I understood, was a policeman in L.A., but he lives in O.C.
Yeah, he was taking care of his parents. He's there with his parents.
Yeah, he has
okay.
two elderly parents that he's taking care of.
And that was not the first confrontation, Audrey. That has been going back and forth, and I think it just came to a head that day.
Okay.
And I think the two kids may have been Latinos. I may have seen one boy who may have been black, but most of them look to be maybe Hispanic.
Them were some bad behind children. That's what they were. Dang,
you better not say that around Kathy, Regina, because I don't think she believed that they're any bad behind children.
Well, I don't mean that they couldn't be helped, but they were just mischievous. Very mischievous.
And they straight
I want,
hit
I want
his,
Kathy
his
to go look at
and,
that tape again, because I would have hated to be in the middle of those kids, and they tell me, Cassie said she didn't see any violence. I would have hated to be in the middle of those kids.
Well,
violence.
They painted the wall saying cop killing.
To me,
kill cop. They spray painted it, kill cop. It's ridiculous. That's not good.
And kill the pig.
James, now, all of that you've been talking about, your mama and what you was doing to the kids, I can just imagine what you were doing when you were in school. Now, as the other ladies have said, you need to go up to that school and start volunteering.
Exactly.
Right.
I ain't going to no school. I hear what you're saying.
Tell him, Kathy.
I am not taking my peaceful spirit to no school to be corrupted.
then you are part of the problem.
Oh,
all right.
This is Audrey from Orange. You are part of the problem. It's kind of
right.
just like
I was. Well,
I don't know how Donald Trump won this, that, and the other, but I didn't go vote. I said you put him in then.
Well, I'll see you guys tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, and we'll have another conversation about what's going on in our world. Take care,
and we
want to
know what your
tomorrow.
Agenda is. Hey, James.
Huh?
We want to know what your agenda is for going up to that school.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what it's going to be. It's going to stay on my house and let the people have their way.
Help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road and teach them to love one another. Heaven might find a place in their heart.